played them in Nashville, and he balled out tonight when he had to. That guy balled out. Those two shots were dagger shots. Go ahead, and then we'll go to the phones.
Well, I think you see that they've managed to meld, and I mean, it pains me to no end to give that little weasel, that slimy little weasel, any credit or his brother. But I mean, you can see they're starting to do what they're starting to meld what Bryce Drew wants them to do. I mean, you saw they've now kind of taken the, okay, we're a bunch of guys that shoot threes, but they've added elements of some dribble drive to that. And that's what they are. And I think that's why they're better now. I mean, I think he's found a way, as much as it pains me to say anything good about any of the Drew family. I mean, they found a way to do something. They found a way to meld the players he inherited from Kevin Stallings into what he does. And hey, give him his credit.
To the phones we go, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us tonight, all lines are currently jammed. And we'll get our next call in on your Smartway Garza Law Firm, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello and welcome in.
What do you say, Stallion?
Hey, what's up, Philly?
Oh, not much. Well, how are you doing, Tony? Tony and Tony.
Tony Jones. He's talking to you, Tony.
TJ.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Stallion? You all right?
And how filled you there, too?
He's right there, Philly. Go right ahead, man.
Guys, I tell you what, y'all have dissected a lot, but I think part of the problem tonight, we don't have a five-man and we don't have a point guard. I mean, even if you don't even play good, if we have one, those two things, we win tonight.
You know what's weird, guys, is that the kid from Canada had his moments this year, and Tony, where is he? He's like MIA. What happened to him?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we talked about him a great deal in our last home victory, and after that, he hasn't even been playing.
No, he's in the Bermuda Triangle. It's strange.
If you're not at practice, you really can't, you know, really put your a really true handle on the situation. Obviously, me being a coach, we've been in situations where kids just don't practice well, and you know, you get in the coach's doghouse and things of that nature, and then one little mistake is magnified times 10 instead of times 1 with some of the other players. So, you know, me not being at practice, I don't understand that. But, I mean, we missed important free throws tonight.
Yeah, we did.
We missed important opportunities.
Missed layups.
And I agree with Keith. I've competed against the Drews for 20 years. I started competing against Homer Drew, the dad, when I was an assistant at Buffalo, and he was the head coach of Valparaiso, and they were in our league. And those guys have the impression that they're holier than thou and this and that. And I know what they CeeLo is. I know what their situation is. I don't think that Bryce is a very good coach. He was a very good player and played in the NBA. He made adjustments tonight. You got to give him credit.
Yeah.
He made adjustments tonight from earlier in the year that enabled and put his team in a position to win.
Yeah.
And we did not make the correct adjustments. We didn't come out ready to play.
Yeah, we weren't ready. You're right. And not having Jordan Bowden out there tonight didn't help none either, because
no,
we don't have a three-point shooter at all.
Plus, not only the three-point shooting, but that perimeter defense early in the game, not having a big body there, Phil, to mitigate what they were doing, because they were going around, and that's got to be a major concern for the staff, because it's on tape now. And when your film says this is what you are. We were talking about it 4 or 5 weeks ago. Is it by design? Are they funneling guys in? Well, it ain't by design.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like I-75. Watching guys go around our guards.
Yeah, our point guard play is just getting steadily worse. I mean, you got two guys that are, I mean, you know, neither one of them can play. I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, I thought Bone had some potential, but I don't see it right now. I mean, either that or, I mean.
Let him gain some weight. We'll say. You know?
But if we lost three straight years to Vanderbilt and Knoxville.
Yeah, for the first time since the mid-50s.
I mean, that's a disgrace. And they're not even that good. That's what's even more hilarious about it.
During a time where a coach got fired, basically. I mean, you can't make that up, can you, Phil?
Oh, God. Get beat by cotton candy, I tell you what. Well, we spoiled their year last year, so I guess they spoiled ours this year. And they got to get ball players. That's the only way to turn this thing around. And what are they going to do? Are they going to get this guy from France, or are they going to get a point guard? What are they going to do?
I don't know. Because we've got the big bruising forward plus the project next year. And I guess if you can add Pons to that, you're still going to have an issue with guard play, I would think. And the league's going to get better next year. That's the thing about it. There are a lot of young recruits. Plus, there are a lot of there were some teams that are going to add some kids, like the Alabamas of the world, the Mississippi States of the world, are going to be better basketball teams next year.
Is anyone going to get Hugh Freeze up there to do some recruiting for us? See you.
Hugh Freeze and the Drew brothers. Hugh Freeze and the Drew brothers. Let's put them together and let's let it roll. Keith, do you think we're going to see us go out in the off season if there's another defection off that roster and try and add another guard? Would you do that?
I mean, if there's a spot. I mean, there's one thing, and certainly I think all of us that watch college basketball, and Tony even more intimately coaching it, have seen. I've seen some guys. I mean, Juwan Staten that just left West Virginia comes to mind. I've seen some guys that were damn terrible as freshman point guards that by the end of their career are all conference guys. So, I mean, I'm not ready to throw it in on Jordan Bone yet. But, and I mean, you don't know. I mean, what's Quay Parker going? Because, I mean, we brought Quay Parker and Turner are both not true point guards.
Right.
But can you get a combined 10 minutes a night of them at the point guard? Maybe. I mean, I want to see what this team looks like once you get a full year off season, everybody on campus. I mean, I think they'll get Pons. Yeah, I mean, if somebody left, I don't know who that would be, but if somebody did, and I mean, I've said for the time he's been here, and I thought again tonight he was more attached to the game. I mean, I think Shambari Phillips can play minutes at point guard.
I agree. I think Shambari Phillips is an underutilized, underrated member of that basketball
team. Yeah, I mean, and the thing about Kyle Alexander that you brought up, I mean, he blocks a shot tonight. He gets an offensive rebound. He steps up and makes two free throws.
He does.
I mean, the thing is, he makes mistakes. And a lot of it is stuff that's away from the ball. So people are wondering, why is he getting yo-yoed out of the game? I guarantee if Tony Jones is sitting next to me tonight, he sees every time Alexander gets pulled out, he's saying immediately why he's getting pulled out. And it's obvious. I mean, and it's the fact that he hasn't played much basketball. I mean, he makes plays that a high school kid wouldn't make.
Which again,
through a good high school program.
Which, again, we go back to this. At some point, don't you just throw the kid out there and just say, okay, we're going to give him court time. We need a body. We need somebody
that's
to take.
What I do now.
I would have done it, like Tony said, in the middle of January. Do it. Tony,
well,
you were saying that.
Go
ahead.
I mean, I don't disagree with that, but the one thing is this team has managed to keep themselves right on the cusp of every time you're ready to throw in the towel on them, they do something. You go, well, you're in NCAA contention.
Right.
Now you're not.
Right.
So as far as I'm concerned now, Kyle Alexander, I mean, obviously he's got some conditioning issues too, but I'll put it this way. He'd be on the sideline getting oxygen after playing 25 to 28 minutes Saturday, or he'd foul out, or it'd be because he fouled out that he didn't.
It is time, isn't it, Tone, just to kind of look at it and go, okay, we got four left here. We're going to look at some guys, and Kyle Alexander is one of them who's got to get some court time here.
Well, that's the only way it's going to get better. That's the only way it's going to get developed. Obviously, we know his history. We recruited him when I was at Auburn. Actually, we offered him a scholarship at Auburn because we liked this upside kid from Toronto, Ontario, played at Orangeville Prep, showed the ability to to run the floor and was athletic and was long. You just got to see what you got in him because, you know, those type of guys don't grow on trees. 6'10", 6'11", with athleticism and with that type of length. And I'm not saying that he can be like the kid years back at Mississippi State. What was his name, Keith? I competed against
Bernardo.
Jarvis Bernardo changed games, and that's who I alluded to him when I talked to Bruce about recruiting and offering Kyle Alexander. He could be that type of player. Jarvis Bernardo didn't have a whale of an offensive game, but he changed the game on the defensive end. And I think this kid possesses that same type of potential. But you got to give him out. You got to play. You got to live with his mistakes and go with that. And Grant Williams' position is a four. It's a power forward. He's shown that he can score face in the basket, and then you can go high low with those guys and have, you know, Kyle Alexander at the high post too sometimes and making entries to Grant Williams and scoring in the low post and getting Kyle Alexander's guy away from the basket. So I think that's something that they'll look into hopefully next year. I don't know, as a coach, do I make that transition or make that commitment to playing him if he's not playing well when right. we're in the position that we're in
right now. I want to get to the postseason, and that's definitely very true. I mean, thinking about it, it's easy to say play a guy like that, but you've got your responsibility is to Hubs, your responsibility is to your kids, your responsibility is to the fan base, your responsibility is to the guys on the staff, because if I don't win, I'm getting fired. We're all getting fired. So let's go to the phones.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry. Whoa. A little flange error. Go ahead, Keith. Say it again, and then I'll get our final call in. Go ahead.
But my point was to do that with him Saturday, because I think they're getting murdered Saturday regardless.
Well, they're either going to get murdered Saturday or South Carolina needs an autopsy. Yeah, because
the game Saturday will not be close.
If South Carolina wins that basketball game or lose that basketball game, their season is in desperate, dire straits, minus Mark.
Well, they'll have to win at least one of their last two.
I mean, that's and how they've done that, I give them credit, because a month ago, they were comfortably in that tournament. And right now, they are crashing and burning. Let's go to the phones and get our final call of the night in on a night where Tennessee loses, and we've given you 75 minutes. And I'm generally a 60-minute man, to quote the great Ric Flair. And let's get our final call in. Hello and welcome.
Sorry, John.
Hey, brother. Welcome in.
What do you think? Hey, Keith, what is the incident you keep referring to that Barnes is going to have to answer about? I'm sorry.
What's the incident, Keith, that he's going to have to answer?
He goes over to Shals before he shakes Bryce Drew's hand. He goes over to Shals and says something. Shals says something back. They separate for about 10 or 15 feet. Barnes says something else, and then Shals comes back for more.
It wasn't on television, so they had heat with each other at the end of the game.
Yeah, I'm sure Barnes will have to answer the SEC office. And like I said, Shals will have his 18 Miller Lights or whatever tonight over at the Radisson. Then he'll be somewhere up screwing up a game tomorrow night.
Hmm. Hey, Tony Jones, I guess maybe with the way the score was, let me ask this. When do you take a tee, you know what I mean, for your team? I mean, when do you come in and say, hey, I'm going to try to get these guys fired up. I got to do something. You know, is there any point in that game where you said to Barnes, hey, let's get a team. Let's try to see if I can do something to change the game.
What do you think, Tone?
You have to be strategic in it. Time and score. And coaches do that. Sometimes, I've been on the bench, and I've told Bruce, I say, BP, you got to get one now. You got to get one now. It's getting out of hand. You know, we got to change this momentum. And sometimes that comes from a head coach's staff. Sometimes it's just his instinct to be able to think about, you know, his experience to see momentum changes in games. And that's something that's constantly thought about. So that's a great point from the caller. We put ourselves in a position to get back into the game, but we've already expounded upon this. Just too many missed free throws, just too many uncontested three-point shots in the last 5 minutes put us behind the eight ball. And again, it's a team that we beat soundly in Nashville. They had supreme motivation to come and give us payback in Knoxville. And we
didn't get
that challenge.
Yeah, I don't get it at all.
I mean, let me ask you this. I guess to flip this to positives, Shabari Phillips had a great game. He had a putback, if I remember right, on the tip. You know, play hard, I thought. And then Quay Parker, to me, it seemed like we played better when he was on the floor. He seemed to give some good minutes. I think he hit a three, if I remember right.
He did.
You know, that cut the lead. He didn't turn the ball over any.
No.
If I recall, unless I missed something. I mean, he certainly had a better game than Lamonte to me. I think he's quicker and better defender. He gave the kid he was guarding trouble the whole game. I mean, you know, what's wrong with giving him some minutes? I mean, did he not earn a few more there at that point? Same with Shabari.
It's weird. We were talking with Keith a second ago about Shabari, and yeah, I don't know about Parker. I can't speak to him because he's been kind of uneven when he's played. But again, when you don't get in games, it's so hard because those minutes, it's got to be like the game's going 100 million miles an hour to you, and
right.
You know, and he hit the, you know, he was 1-for-13 from 3-point range before he hit that one tonight. That was a huge shot when he hit it, which kept Tennessee around. The thing about that's befuddling to me about the other guy that you had mentioned before, Phillips, is I don't understand why he doesn't play more, because he does positive things and he's an energy player. And you play, and look, you played a game tonight where the energy bus, brother, if I can go cross-sport comparison on the Hill, the energy bus didn't show up. Butch Jones would have told you there was no energy bus.
What would have been his cliches for tonight's game?
I don't know, but it would have pissed me off and made me cuss.
Yeah. What I also don't get is, why is an official turning around and throwing a student out of a game? Come on. I mean, is it that serious?
I'm telling you that the guy did not cuss. If the guy told...
Even if he did,
he didn't. That's the thing. That's the thing that's just bizarre. SEC. It's so Southeastern Conference to worry about some stupid student.
I mean, it's just juvenile. Do these guys... I mean, do you have a certain... That's the only games they do as SEC games, or is it like Keith saying where they're contractors and they do regions? So you might see TV Teddy within the Southeastern United States.
No, they bounce. Tony, they all bounce all over the country, don't they?
They are part of multiple conferences. You know, these guys will referee a game in the Big East one night, and then the ACC another night, the SEC, and they're working 6 nights a week. They're working 6 nights a week. And you can't tell me that these guys don't get that lactic acid in their legs where they're not getting up and down the floor.
Damn.
And if a game is not on national TV, they just not as motivated. That's something that's been discussed as coaches about the refereeing profession.
Tony, are there guys out there that are horrible? Like Patrick's asking, are there certain guys in that coaching profession that y'all look at that sheet, because you get the sheet, you see who's coming, your assignment, and you go, okay, well, tonight this is how the game's going to be called because so-and-so's here. And, I mean, is that a part of it?
You know what? That's a part of it. I'm not going to mention no names.
No, no names. But are there guys that are just awful?
Who knows what my career may last? I may not be an analyst on the Tony.
No, I'm asking you, are there just blindly speaking, are there guys that are just terrible at what they do or is the worst you can be pretty much average as far as officials go?
I'm just going to use one word. Affirmative.
Hey, let me ask you this, Tony Jones, if you don't mind. Do you guys, as coaches, do you have the option to, like, you get a juror where you can say, he ain't calling my game?
That's a good question.
That's a very good question, very astute question that I haven't heard asked by a caller. I used to do the evaluations of the officials. Bruce put me in charge of that, and I would chart the officials that we've had in previous years, and I would evaluate them. And in some instances, if we felt that official had an issue with our coaching staff or always put us in a position of peril and not in a position to win, we would go to the supervisor of officials in the SEC and say, we don't want this guy doing our game. And they would take that into consideration.
Right.
It's not that they wouldn't assign him to our game, but if we asked that we don't want this guy for none of our games, they would adhere to those directives. Now, that's something that they didn't have to do, but that's something that they would take in consideration.
Huh. Who do the officials answer to? Like, they get graded, obviously, but who do they answer to? Like, so let's just say he F's up the game. Who is he held accountable by? Is his pay are they paid more or less?
Okay, the supervisor of officials, they have to answer to them. They have conference calls with that supervisor after each and every game. Coaches, especially in the Southeastern Conference, and you know what? I'm not even going to say just Southeastern Conference. When I coached in the MAC, when I coached in the Horizon League, any league I've coached in, we turned in our evaluations on officials. And if those evaluations are not as positive as the supervisor officials would like, then the supervisor officials would talk to those officials. They would explain some of the concerns that the coaches had out of this particular game. And they would look at those particular instances in future games when you call that particular coach's game. As it relates to them being reprimanded by having a poor game, that doesn't happen. As you see the same guys out there each and every week.
Tony, you've gotten, now I don't know, have you dipped into my back pain medicine, which messes with your blood barrier in your brain? I mean, I
got a blood barrier.
You got what?
I got a blood barrier.
You're out of here. Tony, you like, you're on some truth serum tonight, which is what that pain medication does to me. It's like it makes me all edgy, and I'm telling the world off. You're going for it tonight, Tony Jones.
Well, you know what? I'm just giving the common fan insight of what I've been exposed to, and I think that's why I'm a part of Tony Basilio's show, because I believe in you. I believe in your philosophy of giving back to the common fan. And me being on, I'm going to give it to you straight up with no chaser.
Wow. Tony, You're the greatest. Oh, my gosh. And Hatfield, I would like to really thank you for sending us down to the officiating rabbit hole tonight.
No, no problem.
Although, you know what? It really wasn't you who did it. It was that complete imbecile, Pat Adams, who, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm standing by. The guy who told me this is one of my guys. And he said, no. Tony, the kid did not use profanity. You didn't throw anything at him. He said, he texted me and said, I've never seen anything like it. He said, it just can't happen.
But no. Look, I mean, three things out of John's call. A, Barnes did everything he could to get a technical with about 35 seconds to go, and Pat Adams is too sorry and lazy because he didn't want to do the paperwork because he has to do paperwork if he teased somebody up. So, I mean, that's why Barnes didn't get a technical 35 seconds ago. I mean, Tony has to deal with these guys when he gets back in soon enough. He doesn't have to say it. I'll just put it this way, Tony. I'll put it this way, TB, into the audience. I know enough guys in that profession. One of those two guys that we're talking about is a horse shit official. The other guy's a reasonably competent official, but he's a worthless SOB.
It's not 10 o'clock yet. It's not 10 o'clock in the East, Keith. You got 3 minutes before you can really let loose on your tirade.
I got you.
We're still
the third thing was, Bob Knight did get Ted Valentine thrown out of the Big Ten.
Oh, wow. We're still in prime access here, Keith. You've got 3 more minutes. Let's go back to our
I got you.
865-200-5402 on a night where Tennessee loses. And now we all become concerned because this is what's weird about this year is Tennessee's now on a tightrope where Joe Lunardi had you convinced. He never had me convinced, but he had you convinced that this team was going to the NCAA tournament. No offense. He never had me convinced. And I mean in big, bold letters, N-E-V-E-R. And people got mad at me a couple weeks ago, and that's okay. But he never had me convinced. I've always been convinced that this basketball team, it will be an accomplishment. And I will celebrate it if they get to the NIT. But as Keith Hatfield told you a couple weeks ago on here, and again, we just kind of call it like we see it. He said, that's an if. And that's the truth tonight. And that's hard for some people to comprehend. Because I got news for you. Just because Joe Lunardi says something doesn't make it so. It doesn't. It doesn't make it so. And the NIT is different.
Yeah, you're going to have a bunch of small conference champions.
Right, which you don't wait ought to be. Right.
Well, and they do. They get automatic bids. If they don't win their tournament, they get an automatic bid.
That good basketball teams. Good bas. The days
right.
of the days of the days of the taking you because you've got a name. Those days are over. So Tennessee is now on a line, and it would be criminal with how hard this team has played if they end up in the Kerry Keating Invitational. And I love Kerry, but I just called the. Tony, I just cracked on him, and he's my guy. See, that's my problem. And he's going to text me later, and he's going to go, what are you doing, man?
That's going to be their version of the Larry O'Brien trophy in that tournament, isn't it? Haven't they named the trophy after Kerry?
Yeah. What do they call that? What are they, the BPI or whatever that thing
it's
is?
The CBI, is it? Didn't he? Or he win the CIT. I always get those two screwed up.
Yeah,
it's one of them.
CIT and the college invitational. But, hey, guys, yeah. I've been a part of Joe Lunardi's world for 20 years, and his job is to create excitement throughout the country. And you know, it was just the first four in, and then the first four out. But now it's the next four out, and now it's the first four buys and things of that nature. So
right.
He's created. Atmosphere where he's trying to get everybody involved.
Yeah.
And then this is going to be the situation. Now, believe me when I tell you this, he's going to come out with his prognostications when the conference tournament starts every night. And it's going to change. I mean, it's going to change religiously. And you know, you got guys like Illinois State. What if Illinois State doesn't win their conference tournament? Are they going to get in as an at-large bid? What about Valparaiso? What about Oakland? What about those type of teams?
Right.
You know, the list goes on and on, but it creates a type of excitement among the fan base.
Sure.
And the fan base, and the fan bases that's rapid. The fan bases of the high major schools and the Big 12 and the SEC and the Big 10 and all those places.
Hey, Tone, listen.
What you gotta do is compartmentalize and say, it is what it is. Let's be intelligent about this thing. And, you know, Tennessee has been in the conversation, but Tennessee is on the outside looking in, and they always have been.
And that's right. And look, and that's been our message the whole time, because unless they swept through the end of the season and did something they hadn't done all year, this team was not going to the NCAA tournament. They're just, now look, they still could. I mean, they still could go win the conference tournament, which is basically what they're going to have to do to get into the NCAA. People don't want to hear that. This team from here would have to now go and win, basically, the conference tournament. I mean,
at least make the finals.
Or at least make the, yeah. And I mean, really, 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 yeah. But here's the thing.
And look at this. Yeah. Here's what I like about Lenardi.
Right.
He's created a self-fulfilling prophecy because what he's working on works itself out. Every year,
right.
He, and I love Jerry Palm too,
same
all
thing.
Those guys, they all end up on the end of the year patting themselves on the back.
Right.
That we got 67 of the 68 right. Well, hell, 30-some of them are automatic. And the rest of them, by the end of the year, you got a pretty good idea who's played their way in or out by the time it's all over.
And the other thing about Lenardi that I like is he's got that big Italian meaty face like I have.
And he doesn't take himself too serious.
And he's a great guy. Yeah,
he's a great guy.
He's a great guy. We'll go back to the phones. I love Lenardi. He's a fun-loving Italian guy. Let's get our next guy in, 865-200-5402. I've got time for two more calls, and that's it, because I'm sick of this. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Keith. How you guys doing?
Hey, man.
You know what? I'm kind of almost relieved. I love Tennessee basketball so much more than Tennessee football. Live and die with it, but just roller coaster. It's almost kind of like when you've got a dying loved one and you pull the plug on them.
What?
You know,
what? How can you compare like being on the cusp of the NCAA tournament to like a dying loved one? Good gosh.
Well, not that. How about a dog that's sick and you got to put it down?
No, it was fun. That run was fun. I mean, so we got. Here's the thing you get when you're a member of our fan base. Life puts steel-toed boots on
kicks
you right in the ribs and breaks your ribs. Old school. Like the mob. I mean, like Tony, they get you back, they get you down and they just kick you. Cause you owe money, Tony. That's what our fan base, it's like our fan base owes somebody money. We're constantly getting kicked, Tone.
Yeah. I mean,
tonight was ignorant, Tony. That game was ignorant tonight, Tony.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no disrespect to the caller, but you know, it's not that serious. I mean, it's still a game. We're very passionate about our sports, especially about, you know, our university and our team. But you know, we can never equate it to someone losing the sanctity of life. Yeah.
But you know what somebody compared it to on Periscope just now, Tony? Tonight was like a kick to the NIT sack.
Here's where I was going with this. Now we can just concentrate on the NIT. That's where I was going with this. I mean, I didn't think we were going to make the NCAA tournament, but now, let's just concentrate on trying to get a couple more wins.
Absolutely.
Maybe go win one in the SEC tournament and go, and like you said, Basilio, good, earlier this week, and try to go to the NIT, get a few games under our belt, and get better for next year.
Get in that New York City groove. You get back in the
I agree with that, and give these kids some postseason exposure
yep.
and things like that.
But in retrospect, we're going to lose at South Carolina on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to LSU and have to play a woeful, I mean, just a terrible battle.
Awful. You can't lose that game.
I don't, Tony.
Game, but listen. Crazier things.
Oh, no, Tony. They're not Tony. They're not losing that game. Come on, Tony.
Hey, that's LSU's last home game of the season. Crazier things has happened. I've been a part of this league. And then you get Alabama in the final game of the season.
Now, they will lose that game. I've seen that script.
Hey, Tony Jones, I got a question.
I hate how Alabama does that to us.
Tony Jones, I got a question for you. What if we win these last three SEC games and then go and win a game or two in the SEC tournament? Is there a chance we get in the NCAA?
No. Tonight's game fatal blow, man.
No. I disagree with that, Tony. I disagree with that. You know, we still have a decent RPI.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, this was a pivotal game.
All right, I'm doing the math here.
You know, if you're a betting man and you're in Vegas and you're betting your house, you're betting your life, so to speak, as you alluded to earlier, you wouldn't bet on Tennessee against South Carolina. But if we beat South Carolina, beat LSU, then beat Alabama and win two games in the SEC tournament, it's a chance that Tennessee could slip in.
That would put us, your scenario would put us at 19-14 after we recorded that last loss. And here's the deal. Teams with 14 losses, according to Jerry Palm, in the 23 years he's done what he's done, have only gotten in 7 times in 23 years with 14 losses. That's why tonight's game was huge.
And one of those teams was the 2011 Tennessee Vols that I was a part of the coach.
That is correct. In fact, he made a point to say that in 2011, when the field expanded, 5 of those teams got in that year. So really, it's two teams outside of that year in 22 season. So it does not happen much. And Tennessee will be 19-14, and it'll be hard to justify putting them in the NCAA tournament under your scenario. I mean, the sooner or later, you've got to beat people. You got to have wins. So, I don't know. I mean, I would love to hold out hope. I'd like to see this team go 2-1 here down the stretch and get in the NIT.
Well, you know, Jerry Palm said it. You know, you got your prognosticators, Lenardi, Jerry Palm, Warren Nolan. You know, all those guys. And, you know, the thing that Dave alluded to, what I've seen written is all of Tennessee's big wins has come at home. And that is indeed the case.
Yeah, so a win Saturday would not, I'm telling you, I don't know if it would get us in, but it would really damage South Carolina. Because South Carolina all of a sudden would play their way with their 20 wins. I mean, they went in, the door was closed behind them, and if they're not careful, they have hit Skid Row, and there's no, Sebastian Bach there. I mean, they have hit Skid Row. I'm telling you, that team is on the skids. Southern culture on the skids. Anything else for us, Jucardio?
No, Tony and Tony, I just love you guys, man. Appreciate you guys being
love
in
you,
there
man.
Tonight.
It's a labor of love. Thank you, brother. It's a labor of love. And Keith, that's the bottom line here. You guys were prophetic a couple weeks ago. I mean, if we're not careful here, we're going to look up. And Keith, you think if we went, let's take Tony's scenario. Because Syracuse, I'm going to mix metaphors here. Let's just say Tennessee finishes 19-14, Keith. They getting in?
That'd definitely be one of the places that CBS would have a camera on Selection Sunday to watch the reaction. I mean, that'd be in the discussion.
That's true.
I mean, that'd be one of the things. Because look at this. And a team I've touted all year that I completely quit on last week. Everybody's got Rhode Island in their field now for the most part. They lost at home to Fordham last week.
You know, here's the thing though.
So there you go. I mean,
this team,
I mean, the bottom of the field.
Yeah.
Jerry Palm can say what he wants. And like I said, I got infinite respect for Jerry. Anybody who says the bottom of this field isn't garbage. Clemson was 4-10 in ACC play going in last night. And everybody was saying, you know, they won a couple of games. They're getting in. I mean, you want to have, there'll be some teams this year with 12, 13, 14 losses, or they're going, or they have to cut the field because there's going to be no other option.
Yep. I mean, you know, really I think you, the high major schools, they're going to want chalk. They're going to want chalk in the mid-major conference where, with
yep.
those guys.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to get at least a, you're going to get at least a couple of Big 12 teams. They're going to have 12 or 13 losses just by the fact that they're going to have 10 or 11 conference losses.
But they say the 14 loss thing is a real line of demarcation. In fact, all those guys say that. All those, it's almost like a mathematical elimination type deal. So when Tennessee,
well, I think historically it has been, Tony, because they could feel the field without getting into teams like that. But they've expanded the field and there's been more parity in college basketball. It's a lot like having an 800 bowl game. Hey, you used to have to be 7-4, 7-5 to go to a bowl game. As time goes on, that stuff, the math shifts. I think.
You have no question about it. I mean, if Tennessee loses to South Carolina, they got to get all the way to.
Well, then they're dead. Yeah, now they.
Yeah, I think they'd have to win it then.
You got it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least get to the SEC semifinals.
No, Tony.
I think they'd have to get to the final.
No, yeah.
I think they'd have to get to the final at least.
And
probably beat Kentucky on the way to the final to get in.
What I like about you, Tone, though, is you had us a second ago losing at LSU, and now we're like going to go on a 5-game winning streak.
Oh, they could lose at LSU.
They're not, guys. No.
I'm not saying they're going to. I'm saying they could.
No, they can't.
Oh, yes, they can.
Guys, that ain't guys, come on. Well, I guess based on what I saw tonight, to quote Hal Hill, anything's possible. We had 6 turnovers and 6 field goals and a half of basketball tonight. We set basketball back. Well, we set it back to the mid-50s. I mean, it was brutal. Brutal. Let's get our next call in. Our final call of the night. Hello and welcome in.
Tony, to keep the point, the bottom of the tournament this year is going to be full of teams with 13 losses, 14 losses.
No, it's not.
It's just.
Hang on. Guys, Jerry Palm, who does this for a living, who I love and respect, tells me if you get 14 losses, you're not getting in. Just because you guys make it so.
The mid-majors this year are not as good as they have been in the past. They don't have enough teams, so you're going to these other conferences to bring them in. Jerry Palm can say all he wants, but you're not getting as many teams out of the mid-majors, so you're going to pull from the bigger conferences, such as the ACC, which Clemson is a great example that 4-10 until last night, and they were the quote-unquote next 4 out. And so you're going to see teams like that on Selection Sunday that, like he said, are going to be on camera watching. And if we happen to win our next 3 games and 2 games in the conference tournament, I think that we will be one of them.
But here's the thing, guys. There's a better chance that I will get through the next 5 shows factually accurate than you got to be self-deprecating here, then we win 5 basketball games in a row. We haven't done that all year. I mean, we're just not good enough to do that. It's just.
I'm not saying that we are. I'm just saying that there's other teams. I'm speaking on behalf of the whole league. I'm speaking on behalf of the NCAA Division I.
Yeah.
You're going to see teams that you might see a team. You might see a team at the end of the year with the way the season is going that might even have 15 losses that is being considered for the tournament.
Wow.
That's just the way. I know that sounds crazy, but.
If that's the case, then, I mean, and here's my thing. You know, I don't know if you, Smitty, if you had this thought, I said it earlier. if what you're going to tell me tonight, because Vanderbilt thinks they're, you know, because their strength of schedule is actually better than ours somehow, non-league and all that. And their RPI is, I think it's one spot from ours. I mean, and basically tonight, after tonight, they overall, I think we have the same, we have the same exact record now, because we're 1/500 coming out of tonight, because that, Chaminade game doesn't count. So I think we're, actually, we've got the same exact record now. Vanderbilt thinks they're an NCAA tournament basketball team. Tennessee thought they were tonight. Guys, if that was NCAA tournament caliber, those two teams playing tonight, that was some damn awful basketball being played in that gym tonight. Am I wrong?
Well, you know what, Tony, great point, but now Vanderbilt is 8-7 in the SEC, and we're 7-8.
Well.
So, as of right now, Vanderbilt is ahead of us.
How?
You know, wow.
I mean, you're going to tell me that's an NCAA tournament basketball team, which I guess is Smitty's point.
They lost to Missouri.
That's the point. And that's well taken. That's a point well taken. I just don't see how we're alive, because we're in a league that can't play, Smitty, and we're a 500 basketball team.
But then again, if you look back at it, and I was talking to a friend of mine earlier.
Yeah.
In the second week of the year, I mean, if we were sitting here talking, I mean, I asked him, I was like, I'm not for moral victories, but would you, in the second week of the season, been thinking that we've been talking about the NCAA tournament at this point in time of the season?
Hell no.
He's like, no. And I was like, okay, well, there we go. You know, at least we have that. And
Smitty, I didn't think we'd win 10 games.
I'm not saying it's over, but like I said, I'm saying it's over, but then again, in this conference, there's no telling. We have to remember, Georgia went to the friggin', won the SEC tournament 2008.
Yeah.
With all this side. You know, so this game is so weird, and you're always
right.
Make a point of Tony. It's a weird game.
Yep.
I'm not saying that we have the chance, but you never know what's going to happen, because in this league, especially with the way Kentucky's playing right now, Mike White is a joke, and you never know what's going to happen in the tournament. So, but to mark on, before I go, Tony Jones' point, I kind of want to know how much these supervisors are getting paid for the officials, because the fact that Pat Adams, TV Ted, Doug Schau, and Antonio Petty,
Larry Nance's brother. Larry Nance's brother. Let's not leave him out.
Oh, Tony Green. Okay, so how are we getting these guys? How are these guys? And these guys are predominantly SEC for the most part. Predominantly. I mean, you've seen them if you've watched the entire week. Those guys have officiated almost every SEC game. How are these guys keeping their job? I want to know why that these guys aren't getting pushed out, because I've never seen, this is simple stuff. This is simple stuff, Tony. The fact that these guys have gone to the monitor in at least 5 games that we've played in conference to see who's shooting the free throw is embarrassing. The fact that they have to go to the monitor to see who's shooting the free throw is flat out embarrassing. I have not seen it in any other league this year. You guys have a good night.
Well, it's been a night where we've celebrated officials. It's been a night where where some kid probably will have a story to tell for forever.
I'll celebrate when Doug Shouse and Pat Adams go the way of Jim Burr.
Tony Jones shot on the officiating community tonight and the Drew family. I mean, it's been a... I'll tell you what, guys. We've been in here now for an hour and 48 minutes. We brought a better effort than we brought tonight on the basketball court. No offense. I mean, I have to say that. Final thought here. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, let me tell you this. I just want to commend you on some of the things that you said about your trio and foursome that comes on the show on a regular basis. You said that you would take this foursome over any analyst at the SEC network at any point and any time.
No question.
And I heard that commentary, and I really appreciate it. You said that Keith Hatfield, Vino, Tony Jones, Mark Griffin would outdo any of those individuals. So I really appreciate it. So what I got to do is give you my candid opinion and my insight through my experience.
Yep.
To relay this to the common fan, to relay this to all our loyal listeners.
Well, Tone, let me explain something to you, and I'm going to brag on Keith here for a second. Keith and myself have been doing this for about 4 years now after games. And Keith never once came to me this year and said, hey, Tony's taking my airtime or Mark Griffin's taking my airtime. Keith says, hey, we are now touching the bases. This is what we're doing here. You know, we're all just kind of drafting and learning from each other. And I'm going to tell you something, man. It has been a real pleasure and a real honor. And I'm going to tell you, I know I speak for a lot of people. I mean, we had a couple thousand people tonight watch us on Periscope. We've got several thousand people listening to us on the internet right now. Tony, when we put that show up later tonight, there will be people, several more thousand, listening to it around the world. And people appreciate, first of all, your love. You have an infectious spirit about you. Okay, that's the first thing. Two, you're real people. Three, you are not afraid to mix it up with the common fan. You've got those sensibilities. Four, you're damn good at this. I meant that. Keith Hatfield is damn good at this. Mark Griffin is damn good at this. I'm just, seriously, guys, I'm like a ringleader here. I'm trying to stay out of the way because this has been a lot of fun this year, and that's not going to get lost on me when I think about this basketball season and this team. Hey, they've played really hard. You know, my wife tonight, Tony, she said to me, before you go on, she said, I want you to think about those kids. She said, they're a couple years older than your kids. She said, don't go crazy. I said to her, I said, hey, listen. I said, I appreciate how hard those kids play. I appreciate how hard it is to be a part of that. I appreciate how hard it is to be a walk-on. I appreciate how hard it is to be a manager. The last thing I'm going to do, you know, and I like that, Tony, you've got this celebratory tone about you where you, it's infectious. And I have people tell me that. And I have people say, they say that to me. They say, hey, you and Keith, you guys are really, that's really great what y'all are doing this year. It's really fun. And Keith never once said to me, hey, man, you know, I'm getting less airtime or whatever. He never once said that to me, Tone. Not one time.
Well, you know, I'm just happy to be a part of a team. That's what I've always been. I've always been able to, you know, be candid and be outspoken, but most of all, be truthful. And, you know, I got a love affair with the fan base of Tennessee because they've treated me exceptional. This is my home, and I owe it to this fan base to be honest and to be up front and to be the type of person I am is to try and get this program back to the level where we had it when me and Bruce was here. You know, I'm in no way wanting this program to do less than stellar because of the way it ended for our coaching staff. Because my two daughters graduated from the university. I was in a unique situation, Tony and Keith. I got fired by the University of Tennessee, but I still wrote them checks for my daughter to graduate from school. So, that's something that I'll always hold near and dear to my heart. Tennessee Athletics, but most importantly, the Tennessee fans.
Your family's so awesome. Keith, give me a final thought here on the way out, and then I'll come to you, TJ, because I don't even know what you can add to that. But, Keith, go ahead.
Well, I mean, the main thing, just to touch on this show before I go to that, I mean, you get the perspective, you get about every perspective you could humanly hope for. And I mean, I'm with Tony, man. You just want to be part of a good team. I mean, you know, you hear me wax all the time, Basilio, about my almost obsession with the way the Spurs do business. Man, everybody's got their role. And as long as the people out there taking their time in their evening to listen on the internet or listen to this in the morning on their way to work or whatever, as long as they think we're doing a good job, man, I don't care if I get 45 minutes or 45 seconds of airtime. If I've added a little bit of value to something that's a greater good, man, that's all I want out of this. And I think that's why this show works the way it does. To be perfectly honest, is that.
And you guys, and listen, I meant this. No offense to the blow-dried guys on the ESPN network, and it's chic to put the former player that just quit, or my guy Barry Booker. I mean, no offense to that guy. I'm not ripping him. He's brutal. I mean, that poor guy is no offense. You guys pound for pound.
You let Damon Fishback have it too.
Damian Fishback's brutal. Those guys are.
Hey.
And then that guy from Boston,
Pat Bradley.
Oh, he is so fake. I mean, marron, as we say in Italiano.
Yay.
Bring my man Tony Jones on the SEC network.
Hey, I will put it this way though, Tony. One thing: as much as I love both the Tonys, I love Griff. I love the audience here. The boys up in Bristol and Charlotte call me to come sit next to Maria Taylor every night. You guys have to find somebody else to be on this end of this.
Well, phone. I heard that.
I'll be honest about
my,
that.
My wife is sitting here. You're trying to get me in trouble. And Hatfield, love you. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan.
TJ, we're going to get through this, brother.
Hey, we're going to get through it. You know, we're going to get through the situation that you're going through. We're going to come out a better person physically after this ordeal. This has been a really, really exciting season. You know what? No one expected this. We were talking about maybe battling for NIT berth, and we've been bestowed upon the opportunity to be in the conversation for NCAA tournament bid. And you know what? You know, to your wife's commentary, when you play high major college sports, you're in a big boy arena and you got big boy expectations from the fan base, from the media, from the boosters, from the alumni, and that just goes apart. That's just a part of it. I mean, these athletes are bestowed a number of accolades. They're revered on campus. They're revered, you know, at the establishments around the university. That's all high major players. I mean, from Alabama football players to Duke basketball players, from Tennessee Lady Ball players, and so on. That's just the way it is. And if you don't have the wherewithal to be able to handle that, being blessed with all the advantages you have, then you're not in the element of reality. And that's what it's all about.
Hey, Tone, I love you. And, you're my main man.
No question about it, Tony. Hey, brought to you by the Knoxville Basketball Academy. It's a division of H3 Sports about Roar Sports Drink. It's a beverage for the current and future athlete of tomorrow. It'll be in Tennessee stores in the near future.
R-O-A-R.
Hey, Tony, I'm going to be on assignment on Saturday. My AAU team will be playing in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yes!
So I'm not going to be able to be on the air with you on Saturday.
Okay, buddy.
But I will be able to spend at least a half hour or hour with you on Friday, previewing the South Carolina-Tennessee game and then recapping, tonight's game, because I am off from, my, abode of being a financial service rep at SunTrust Bank.
And how do they find you at SunTrust Bank, Tone? Which branch are you at?
I am at the Landings branch. It's on Cedar Bluff and Kingston Pike. It's inside Kroger.
The Landings.
I'm a financial service representative.